You know that feeling, that very specific creeping anxiety when you have to buy a gift for someone who has a thing.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
I don't mean just a casual interest, I mean a capital T thing. They are so deep in a hobby, they have all the gear, they have very strong
The
opinions.
expert hobbyist. It's a total nightmare for a gift giver. You're just walking into a minefield.
Exactly. You pick something up, you think it looks cool, but to them it's like the wrong model or the wrong brand, or they already have three of them.
Yeah, oh, this is the 2017 version. I only use the 2018.
Right. It's the I don't know what I don't know problem.
Yeah.
And I feel like the final boss of this whole struggle is the outdoorsman, specifically the hunter.
Oh, for sure.
You look at their gear and it's this baffling mix of like military grade equipment and scientific lab instruments. It's genuinely intimidating.
It is. But that's what we're going to do today. We're going to demystify that world a little bit.
We are. We're doing a deep dive into a document that seems really simple on the surface, but it's actually a gold mine. It's the American Hunting Lease Association 2018 Holiday Buyer's Guide.
And it is a fascinating source. I mean, sure, on one level, it's a shopping list. It's 10 items meant to sell products. But if you read between the lines, which is what we do here,
That's the mission.
it's a window into the modern hunter's whole ecosystem. It tells you what problems they're trying to solve, what they value, and honestly, just how surprisingly high-tech this supposedly primitive pursuit has become.
Exactly. We aren't just reading off product names. We're unpacking the specific problems these things are built to solve. And we've got a whole spectrum here from laser-driven trigonometry computers to a plastic box for a breakfast pastry.
And you can argue that the pastry protection is just as vital as the lasers.
We will definitely get to the tactical pastry case. I have so many questions. But let's start with the really serious stuff. Because when you look at this list, the first priority is clearly not getting the animal.
Yeah.
It's surviving the trip.
Right. And that's a crucial distinction. The guide leads right out of the gate with the Hunter Safety System Hybrid Flex.
So for anyone who doesn't know, this is a harness system for tree stand hunting.
Yeah, and we have to pause on that because I think most non-hunters, they assume the biggest danger in the woods is a bear, or maybe your weapon misfiring.
But statistically, that's not it at all, is it? The biggest enemy is gravity.
Precisely. Gravity is the silent killer. You have to picture the scenario. A hunter is climbing, what, 20, maybe 25 feet up a tree.
In the dark.
In the pitch dark at 5 a.m., often in freezing rain or snow, wearing bulky, heavy clothing. Falls from tree stands are the number one cause of serious injury and death in deer hunting. Period.
The text is pretty blunt. It just says, don't leave the ground without being hooked in. But here's what I want to dig into. If safety is so obvious and the stakes are literally life and death, why do they need to sell a special hybrid flex harness for almost 120 bucks? Why isn't everyone just wearing a simple rope?
That is what we call the compliance problem. For decades, safety harnesses were these heavy, tangled webs of stiff nylon. They felt like wearing a straitjacket.
So they were uncomfortable.
Terribly. They restricted your movement. They were hot. They pinched. They were noisy. So what happened? Hunters just wouldn't wear them. They'd gamble with their lives for the sake of comfort.
So the innovation here isn't really just it catches you when you fall, it's behavioral engineering.
Exactly. The Hybrid Flex uses lighter materials and special padding specifically to solve that comfort objection. It moves with you. The insight is that the best safety gear in the world is useless if it stays in your truck.
You have to make people want to use it.
By making it comfortable, by calling it Flex, you're essentially tricking the lizard brain into accepting the safety measure.
I love that. It's a design solution to a psychological barrier. Okay, sticking with essentials, item number two is the Survival Belt 2.0.
From a company called Slide Belts.
Yeah. And it's priced at $120. Now, I have to be honest, my first reaction was, okay, 120 bucks for a belt is a lot.
It's a premium price point for sure, but this plays into that whole EDC or everyday carry philosophy that's really taken over the outdoor world.
Right. The guide calls it a one-of-a-kind belt, offering rugged, reliable versatility. But what makes a belt a survival tool? Is it just, really good at holding up your pants?
Well, hopefully it does that too. But no, the survival name in the space usually means it has hidden utility. These belts, their buckles, often double as a multi-tool.
Okay, so you've got things integrated into it.
Yeah, you're talking about maybe a fire starter, a bottle opener, a small blade. And the strap itself isn't just leather, it's high tensile webbing. You could use it as a tourniquet.
Or like a toe strap, basically.
Exactly. Or to bundle firewood or as a tie down. It's that whole Batman utility belt concept, just stripped down for civilians.
So it's about redundancy.
It is. In the outdoor community, there's a saying, two is one and one is none.
Meaning if you only have one of something and you lose it, you're in trouble.
Right. If you drop your primary knife in the snow or you lose your backpack, well, you still have your belt. It's a way to make sure you're never at zero tools.
So we have the hunter safely tied to the tree and their pants can start a fire. Let's shift gears now to the environment, because this next part really surprised me. I think there's this stereotype of hunting as just, you know, sitting and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
But item number three suggests it's basically an applied math class.
It really is. Modern hunting is incredibly data-driven, which brings us to the Vortex Optics Ranger 1300 rangefinder.
Price tag, $299.
Yeah.
And the 1300 isn't a model number, right? That's the range, 1300 yards.
Yeah.
That's 3/4 of a mile. Why on earth does a hunter need to know the distance to something almost a mile away?
Well, it's about situational awareness. No one's taking a shot at a deer from 1,300 yards. But you use the device to map your environment. You range that ridgeline, that fence post, that big rock. You build a mental grid.
Is that okay?
But the real deep dive nugget here is the feature called primary HCD mode.
HCD, horizontal component distance. I looked this up, and it's literally trigonometry.
It's high school math in the real world.
Yeah.
It solves a physics problem that most people never, ever think about. Gravity acts on a projectile, a bullet, an arrow over the horizontal distance it travels, not the line of sight distance.
Okay, unpack that. So if I'm 20 feet up in a tree, the line to the deer is like the hypotenuse of a triangle.
Exactly.
But gravity only cares about the base of that triangle.
Precisely. If you just range the straight line to the target, your reading will be long. It might say 40 yards, but horizontally it's only 35 yards away. If you aim for 40, you're going to shoot high.
And you either miss completely.
Or worse. You might wound the animal. And this is where the tech connects directly to ethical hunting. The guide says it gives hunters the distance data needed to make accurate shots.
So the tech isn't a cheat code, it's a responsibility tool.
That's a key takeaway. The technology exists to minimize error and ensure a clean outcome. Guessing the yardage is considered pretty irresponsible now. This device just does the math for you.
It outsources the calculus so you can focus.
Exactly.
Okay, speaking of invisible forces,
yeah.
The wind. Apparently, checking the wind has gone from, you know, a wet finger in the air to a USB rechargeable device.
Yes, the Cirrus Wind Indicator. Item number four, 3250.
The guide claims this has changed the wind detection market for the first time in decades. I admit, I didn't know the wind detection market was stagnant, but it makes sense. It was just powder before, right?
Talcum powder in a squeeze bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, tossing some milkweed seeds in the air. The problem with those is weight and visibility. Powder falls fast. Seeds are kind of heavy. The Cirrus uses true vapor.
So it's basically a tactical vape pen for hunting.
Functionally, yes. But the physics of vapor versus powder is actually really significant. Vapor is nearly weightless. It doesn't just show you the wind direction. It reveals the thermal currents.
You explain thermals. That's different from just the wind is blowing north, right?
Correct. Wind isn't two-dimensional. It moves up and down based on heat. In the morning, when the sun hits the valley floor, that air warms up and rises. Those are thermals.
Okay.
So you could be sitting on a hill, check the main wind, and think you're safe. But the thermals could be carrying your scent straight up and over the ridge to where the deer are.
So the vapor lets you see the air in 3D.
Exactly. It floats. It lingers. You can actually see the invisible rivers of air a deer lives and dies by its nose. If it smells you, the game is over. This tool gives you a level of precision that tossing grass in the air just can't match.
Okay, so we've covered safety, math, and physics. But eventually, you do have to actually perform the physical act of hunting. And that takes muscle.
It does. And archery specifically uses a very bizarre set of muscles that we almost never use in modern life.
And that brings us to item number five, the bow trainer.
Yeah.
$45. It looks like a resistance band tool. But the guide notes it was designed by an avid archer and a certified physical therapist.
And that dual expertise is the key. Drawing a hunting bow isn't like lifting a dumbbell. You're pulling a heavyweight, maybe 60, 70 pounds smoothly, and then holding it perfectly still. It creates this massive static tension in your back and shoulders.
And if you haven't trained for that, you're going to shake.
You'll shake or you'll injure yourself. The bow trainer is designed to mimic the specific geometry of that draw cycle. You can do it in your living room.
The guide says it's for everyone from novice to seasoned professional. I guess this is huge for the off-season.
It's all about muscle memory. When that animal finally steps out, your adrenaline is pumping, your heart rate spikes, you lose fine motor control. If you haven't drilled that motion until it's automatic, you're going to fail. That $45 rubber band is an investment in consistency under pressure.
And once that shot is made, the work totally changes. You go from stealth mode to processing mode.
Yep. Enter the Cutco hunting knife, item 6, $192.
Wow. I mean, a lot of people know Cutco from kitchen knives, but this is a serious tool.
Very serious.
The guide says, don't be fooled by its good looks. It highlights the double D edge. What does a hunter need in a knife that justifies a price tag that high?
Two things, really. Edge retention and grip. Field dressing an animal is a messy, slippery, physically demanding process.
And the guide specifically mentions the ergonomic handle for maximum control.
That's the critical safety feature. If your hand slips on a cheap plastic handle when you're applying pressure, you are going to cut yourself badly. And you're miles from a hospital.
So again, it's about control. The harness controls the fall. The rangefinder controls the angle. The vapor controls the scent. The knife controls the blade.
That's a brilliant way to put it. The gear is there to impose order on a chaotic environment.
Well, speaking of imposing order, let's talk about comfort. Because looking at this next section, it seems the modern hunter is not interested in suffering more than they have to.
No, we have officially reached the status symbol portion of the list. Item number 7, the Yeti Tundra 65.
$349.99. It's the most expensive item on the entire list. It's a cooler.
It is the cooler. Yeti basically created this whole category of super coolers. The guide mentions 3 inches of permafrost insulation.
They're really leaning into the Arctic branding. But practically, why does a hunter need a bear-proof armored box? Is it just for keeping the beers cold?
Cold beverages are a morale booster for sure. But functionally, think about it. If you're at a remote camp for a week, you don't have access to ice refills. If you have a successful hunt on day 2, you need to keep that meat cooled below 40 degrees until you get home on day 7.
So it's a food safety device.
It's a portable refrigerator that doesn't need electricity. And the durability, you know, that bear-resistant claim, that's part of the rugged luxury aesthetic. It tells your friends, I take this seriously.
But I love the contrast here. We have this $350 space-age cooler, and right after it is item 8, hot hands hand warmers. A 40-pack for $25.
The humble hero of the hunt.
Bring the heat, the guide says. They're just those little air-activated packets. It's basic chemistry, right? Iron, powder, and salt.
It's just an exothermic oxidation reaction, essentially controlled rusting at high speed.
It's funny that we have the Yeti using advanced tech to keep heat out and these little 60-cent bags using chemical reactions to generate heat in.
It really highlights the extremes of the environment. But don't underestimate the hot hands. Dexterity is safety. If your hands are frozen, you can't feel the trigger properly. You can't climb down a ladder safely.
So for $25, you're buying dexterity.
And morale. Sitting still in 20-degree weather for 4 hours is just miserable. That little packet of heat can be the difference between quitting early or sticking it out.
Okay, moving from hands to feet, we have the Soul Scraper Boot Brush, $60.
This is the unsung hero for the spouse back home.
It's a device to clean mud off your boots. 57 strong and flexible bristles. You can mount it on your truck or a tree stand.
It's about maintenance. Mud isn't just dirt. It holds moisture, which rots your boots. It impacts your tread, which kills your traction. If you try to climb a metal ladder with boots caked in slick mud,
you're inviting disaster. It connects back to safety.
Everything connects back to safety eventually. But yeah, it's also about not tracking half the forest into your truck or your house. It's a domestic harmony tool.
Okay, so we've covered the high tech, the lethal, the practical. But the guide has one more item. An honorable mention. And this is honestly my favorite thing on the entire list.
I had a feeling you were going to latch on to this one.
Item number 10, the Pop-Tart Hard Shell Case.
For the low price of $3.98 at Walmart.
This is amazing. The guide explicitly says it's worth it to not eat your tree stand snack in tiny pieces anymore.
It solves a problem that is, you know, trivial to the rest of the world, but devastating to a hunter, the Pop-Tart crumbs in the pocket disaster.
It's just such a funny juxtaposition.
Yeah.
We've been talking about laser rangefinders and surgical steel.
Yeah.
But the hunter is also sitting there thinking, you know what I really need? A tactical armor system for my strawberry Pop-Tart.
It humanizes the whole list. It reminds you that these are just people. They get bored. They get hungry. They like snacks.
A great tool for any hunter who loves their Pop-Tarts still in one piece.
Mm.
I love that they call it a tool.
It is a tool. It's a tool for protecting a valuable asset. caloric intake and happiness.
That's true. If you're hungry and miserable, you lose focus. If you have a pristine, unbroken pastry, maybe you can stick it out for another hour.
The butterfly effect of the Pop-Tart, it's all connected.
So we've reached the end of the list. We've gone from $350 down to $4. When you step back and look at this whole collection, who is this modern hunter that we're shopping for?
I think it paints a picture of a study and contrasts. On one hand, this person is deeply professional about their hobby. They're willing to spend real money on the safety harness and the rangefinder because they respect the stakes. They want to be safe, accurate, precise. They see themselves as like managers of the environment.
Yeah, they're not just stumbling around hoping for the best. They are prepping, calculating.
But on the other hand, they're prioritizing creature comforts more than ever. They want their hands warm, their drinks ice cold in the Yeti, and their snacks intact. They're trying to bring a little bubble of civilization with them into the wild.
That's a really interesting way to frame it. They're using gear to bridge the gap between the raw, uncomfortable reality of nature and the controlled world we live in.
Exactly. The gear is the bridge. Whether it's the survival belt or the wind indicator, every single item on this list is about extending their ability to function in an environment that isn't really designed for humans.
And doing it with a little bit of style and a whole uncrumbled praxis.
Which, let's be honest, is the most important part.
So if you're listening and you have a hunter in your life, hopefully this list makes a little more sense now. It isn't just stuff. It's safety, precision, and endurance.
And here's a thought to leave you with. As we look at all this high-tech gear, the digital optics, the chemical heat, the engineered vapor, ask yourself this. Does this equipment change the fundamental nature of hunting? Is it still a primitive pursuit when you're this augmented? Or does the gear simply strip away all the distractions, the cold, the guesswork, the hunger, and allow the hunter to focus more purely on the experience and the animal itself?
That is a big question. Does the gadget separate you from nature, or does it help you immerse deeper into it? Something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It was a pleasure. Stay safe out there.
And keep your Pop-Tarts safe, too. We'll see you next time.